Next item on the agenda is item number 6, Alan Crawford, 071697. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Commission review of the Hampton Wetlands Board's October 23rd, 2007 decision to approve the construction of 75 linear feet of replacement bulkheading and require compensation for only 225 square feet of vegetated wetland impacts instead of the 477 square feet of impacts listed in the assessment provided by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science along Mr. Crawford's property situated along New Market Creek in Hampton. The project is located at 9 Raymond Drive in the Riverdale subdivision on New Market Creek in Hampton. This is a residential area located south of Langley Air Force Base. This topo map and then the next two aerials and a ground shot were not included by the board. They're just merely orientation purposes. This is an aerial view from the 2002 aerials, a closer view of Mr. Crawford's property, and then a ground view. You can see the failing bulkhead along here. On July 27th, the Marine Resources Commission received a joint permit application from Mr. Crawford requesting authorization to replace 75 linear feet of failing bulkhead in place. Since the project was proposed landward of mean low water and out of the Commission's jurisdiction, no permit was required from our agency. This is a second drawing. On August 15th, staff received a copy of an additional information request sent to Mr. Crawford by Natasha Hatton, who is the staff coordinator to the Hampton Wetlands Board. On November 7th, staff received a revised JPA that had been signed August 31st by the applicant, and that was received by email. The Hampton Wetlands Board considered the application at a public hearing held on October 23rd, 2007. The board heard a brief presentation by Hampton staff outlining the project and providing her recommendation. I'll briefly go through that presentation. The applicant was Mr. Alan Crawford. His agent was Royer Technical Services out of Hampton, and the project was to impact 225 square feet of wetlands to enable replacement of 75 linear feet of bulkhead. A location map, existing conditions showing the failing bulkhead. Staff went through the VIMS report and provided the recommendation to approve the project with in lieu fee payment for 225 square feet of wetland impacts. The board also heard testimony from the applicant and his agent, Mr. Max Dezard of Royer Technical. The board then voted, this is a typo, it should be 5-0 rather than 4-1 to approve the project as proposed, with the inclusion of standard permit conditions and the condition that impacts to 225 square feet of vegetated wetlands be compensated for through the payment of an in-lieu fee. The VIMS Shoreline Permit Application Report dated October 18, 2007, which was available to the board, stated that a significant fringe marsh exists landward of the failing bulkhead, and it appears that some of the marsh is being mowed. The report also stated that wetland species extend another foot landward of the staked area. You can see the stakes right through here. VIMS estimated a permanent loss of approximately 477 square feet of vegetated wetlands if the bulkhead were built and backfilled as proposed. This is an additional 252 square feet of wetland loss over and above those identified by the board based on information submitted by the applicant's agent. The drawings used by VIMS during their site visit with VMRC staff were received by VMRC on July 27th. On November 7th, staff received an email from Hampton with a different JPA that the board apparently used during their consideration of the application. Those JPA drawings depict the agent's determination of tidal wetlands, and this limit is different than that which was identified by VIMS. In the opinion of staff, the Hampton Wetlands Board in this case failed to fulfill their responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance and the Commission's Mitigation Compensation Policy and Supplemental Guidelines by requiring compensation for only 225 square feet of wetland impacts. It seems the board chose to disregard the impact assessment provided in the VIMS report when calculating the in-lieu mitigation fees, instead choosing to base the assessment of those fees on the 225 square feet of wetland impacts identified by the applicant. No evidence or justification for the applicant's figures was provided. Furthermore, the board considered a revised application that had not been provided to VIMS during their review of the project's impacts. In light of the fact that the board and VIMS reviewed seemingly different information and the fact that the board failed to take the VIMS report into account when calculating the in-lieu fee, and in accordance with Section 28.2.13.13.1 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission remand the decision back to the Hampton Wetlands Board for further review. Staff also recommends that VIMS staff and Hampton staff visit the site together to assess the project impacts. In future cases where differences in impact estimations arise, staff suggests that Hampton contact VIMS directly regarding discrepancies before bringing the project to a public hearing. Also, VIMS should be forwarded a copy of any revisions prior to the project going to a public hearing so that they have evaluated the most recent information. Any revisions should also be forwarded to VMRC if not already done so by the applicant. I'll leave the drawing up for you. If you have any questions.
Well, so I can clarify the record because I was out of the room. I want to ask you a question. what you read and the pictures and everything that you provided are the same record that you had provided to me in advance, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let the record reflect that I have thoroughly reviewed the documentation that Ms. Gallup and staff has provided on that matter. And I don't think, was there anything else added to that that was not discussed prior or in this document?
If you look on the first page, the third paragraph under narrative where it says the board voted, it should be 5-0 rather than 4-1.
Okay.
That's the only change.
All right.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions of Elizabeth? Is the Wetlands Board present?
Yes, sir.
Did you want to address the... Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
You state your name, please.
My name is David L. Morris, the second chairman of the Hampton Wetlands Board.
Mr. Morris, good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Sir.
Good to see you.
Good to see
Commissioners.
You.
First of all, Wetlands Boards don't like to have to be brought to you for any reason. We feel like we have an important role. We respect that role very much. My board takes this very, very seriously, our responsibility for protecting tidal wetlands in the city of Hampton. We do depend on the VIMS advisory reports. We're, in fact, on record this past General Assembly session of supporting funding to keep that process in place. However, it is an advisory process. It is one of many things that our board considers. Wetlands determination in the field is a very subjective process, as a lot of people know. Any two people are going to go out and come out with different numbers. If I were in your shoes and I saw double the impacts from what our board approved mitigating for, that'd be a red flag. But I think there's more to that story, and I think we made the right decision. We've had discrepancies in the past, and in fact, I have personally requested consultants to get with VIMS and reconcile when there was a difference, one of whom was a former staff member of yours. So that does happen, and we do that. I have to say, we're fortunate. If we did not have the VIMS advisory service, we do have professional staff with the City of Hampton who are dedicated to the Wetlands Board and to Chesapeake Bay. That's the only work this Hampton does. And this decision was not based solely on the applicant. Ms. Hatton went out and did her own determination of what the impact was. As the VIMS report said, and as we've noticed, subsidence and rise in tidal elevations is a factor and all the wetland boards in Tidewater, and you are going to see a lot more cases like this one. Bailing bulkheads are out there. They're everywhere. One of the things that impressed me about this particular one is he was proposing to do in place of replacement of the bulkhead. Typically, an applicant comes in, wants to go 18 to 2 feet out into the Commonwealth's waters to establish a new bulkhead. He didn't choose to do that. He's doing it in place. We thought that was very positive. Would like to say, Ms. Rail, could you pull up the this photo here, please? This is a big disagreement in the square footage of impact. If you look at this photograph, see where the stakes are located. Our staff went out and determined that it was an average of 3 feet from the bulkhead, the 75-foot-long bulkhead, that's 225 feet. How it can be over double that, we just don't know. The staff has made a recommendation here to have closer coordination in the field with VIMS. I think that's a great idea. It'd be nice to have VIMS at the meetings, but that would be a big financial impact, I'm sure, to the agency. But to have the board be able to speak to the VIMS advisors, that would be nice. But we don't have that, may not ever have that. But at least joint coordination in the field would be a good idea. I know the applicant is here. I personally was afraid that he would appeal our decision because of the one and a quarter to one mitigation we required that's costing him $4,500 for our in-lieu fund on top of the cost of replacing his bulkhead. We've seen this up and down this creek and many creeks in Hampton. These failing bulkheads are everywhere. You can see the salt push clearly in this picture. And it does somewhere transition to a lawn. Basically, this is the man's backyard. He's trying to preserve his backyard. That's one of the things our Wetlands Board has to weigh, along with protecting the waters of the Commonwealth. VIMS advised maybe putting riprap into the channel. I really am bothered by things like that that narrow the channel. The channels are too narrow anyway because of prior silting. But we thought this was a reasonable application, and it is costing the applicant quite a bit of money to mitigate for the unavoidable impacts for replacing this bulkhead. With that, I certainly would answer any questions the commission may have.
Any questions for Mr. Chairman? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question. Looking in the record, I guess your minutes from the meeting, the only comment related to the identification of impacts, it says staff stated that she did not understand how VIMS estimated their impacts were filled. Should we be aware of any other correspondence between your staff and VIMS, or was there any dialogue there to try to clarify that?
Well, Mr. Robin, Ms. Hatton is here. She could answer that question better than I could. I'm not aware of any other, but there is communication back and forth during this process.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes.
Thank you. State your name, please, for the record.
Natasha Hatton, Hampton Wetlands Board, 22 Lincoln Street.
Good to have you here. Could you respond to Mr. Robbins' inquiry?
Sure. The VIMS report is dated 10-18-07, and the meeting of the Hampton Wetlands Board was October 23rd, 07. So we didn't have time. I didn't have time to talk to VIMS concerning their report. So I evaluated it with the board at the meeting.
Thank you.
Further questions of Ms. Hatton? Thank you, Ms. Hatton. The applicant is here.
Yes, I am.
Wish to be heard?
Actually, I believe that these two have spoken very well for me.
All right.
Could you come forward, sir?
Certainly.
Yeah. Could you state your name, please?
Yes, Alan Crawford.
Raise your right hand just to get it on record. So I swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Okay, Alan Crawford.
Okay.
You know, I believe that the two of them have stated my case very well. I mean, I think you can look at this picture and see that there's not 6 foot 4 inches of impact. Now, there is an area on this side of the camera's focal that where it does branch out a little bit from there. But Natasha and I spent a lot of time going through to estimate the impact on the wetlands for putting this bulkhead. I mean, initially I was resistant to that because the Corps apparently considers anything behind the existing bulkhead not to be mitigatable or not to require mitigation. at least, you know, that's what I was told by their rep. But I finally agreed with her, and we worked very hard to come to a decision on what that extent of the wetlands was, and I firmly believe that 225 is the most reasonable number that we can come up with. In terms of the fact that the claim that I'm mowing in the wetlands marsh, yes, I mean I'm mowing my lawn and I mow it down to the edge. Again, back on this side of the camera, the neighbor on that side has 40-foot tall bamboo growing in his yard, throughout his yard. It comes into my yard. If I don't mow that,
yeah,
I'll have 40-foot bamboo growing in my yard. again, just the side of the camera. But I have not mowed my backyard since June or July because of the lack of rain, and it still looks just about like what you see in that picture. There's nothing coming up beyond that fringe of the marsh that I can see that looks like anything but zoysia grass.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dave, did you want to address wetlands oriented issue, please, sir?
You have a specific question, Chairman.
Well, it appears to be some difference in the figures as to what would be appropriate and whatnot. And that, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. I'd like you to comment on the picture. And
I think a picture is worth 1,000 words. Being on site is probably worth
a million,
considerably more.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate enough to have Julie Bradshaw of the Wetlands Program here this morning. She is one of our marine scientists who has been doing this type of work for 10 years. She's a professional.
Did she go on site?
Yes, sir. This is what she does. And if you'd like to speak with Julie,
I would.
I'm sure she'd be more than happy to address your question.
Raise your right hand. You already been sworn?
Yes.
Thank you.
I actually, just to correct Dave, I actually started in the program 20 years ago. I took 5 years out to teach high school.
Okay. Can you answer the questions, difference in opinion, difference in logic as to where Mr. Chairman came from, the Wetlands Board, and what they think is appropriate versus where you come up with your...
Well, my estimate is based on what I saw in the field, and actually, you know, I can look at the photograph and see where the line is. When the grass is mowed like that, it is a little more difficult to tell what type of vegetation it is, but it was my opinion in the field that the vegetation in that area landward of the salt bushes and other non-mowed wetlands vegetation was indeed wetlands vegetation that's in the act. And that the upper limit of wetlands that would be in the board's jurisdiction was 6 or more feet landward of the bulkhead alignment.
Can you use the mouse? Give me a little idea of what you're talking about there.
Yeah, that's great.
Or whatever picture you've got that would best demonstrate it.
I gave some specific estimates. I don't know if you can see the stake
here
in the distance. That seemed to be at about the upper limit of wetlands. This one, I think, This one, I felt the wetlands extended about a foot landward of this stake, about 8 inches or so landward of this stake. A line would be something. I estimated a line that would be something. Something like this, and then again it extended, you know, past where I was standing when I took this photo.
If the commission will indulge me, is it roots? Had dumb question because I'm not in that area of expertise. How do you know that's where it comes to?
Looking at the vegetation
okay.
here.
Okay, root structure. Different things. I mean, I can't see it from the picture, as Dave just said. Being on scene would be different, but you can actually look and tell, looking down, that that's the same type of structure that it's. Okay. All right. Okay. Further follow-up questions, Mr. Tankard.
The bulkhead. Again, you're going to have to teach me a little bit something. We've got the bulkhead there, and. I mean, I look at it and say, well, the owner's lot stops where the bulkhead stops. I mean, how common is this? And is this unusual that we have wetlands landward of the bulkhead? Or is this normal?
It's getting to be more common as sea level rises, as Mr. Morris suggested. It's getting more common, and it's going to be, you know, continuing that direction. Can't see as well, so well here that the bulkhead really is deteriorated down, you know, to a lower level here. When the bulkhead does deteriorate to that extent, and the tide then is, you know, water is allowed to encroach and inundate behind it, then this is the typical situation that you see. It tends to erode some of the material that tends to subside. And vegetation starts to grow back behind the bulkhead.
Mr. Schick?
Yeah, a couple of questions. One is if the bulkhead hadn't deteriorated, would we see, you know, this wetlands wouldn't really exist? And made the fringe, but not landward. Is that a safe assumption?
I wasn't sure when I was on site exactly how high the bulkhead had previously been. There was kind of a board across, kind of now up in the air, and then the land is now at a much lower level. So I'm not sure, you know, not having been there previous to when the deterioration occurred.
And then second question is now, basically, I know you determined through what type of plant, you know, structure it's on the, I guess, the left side of those stakes, but is there also upland grass material, you know, to the right of those stakes? I mean, is this an intermingling area of upland and wetlands growth?
Probably to some extent, close to the edge.
Right.
You can see that Spartina alterniflora, the salt marsh cordgrass, which is what, you know, the typical intertidal vegetation out here,
right,
is growing, you know, starting to grow now up in this area, you know, right next to the salt bush, which is, again, something that we're seeing more and more as sea level rises and the marsh starts to migrate landward. You see.
Start encroaching on the upland growth material,
right. Right.
Grasses and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
Zoysia or fescue or whatever it might be. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Dr. McConaughey.
I have a question. So are you saying that area past those stakes, would that, if it had not been mowed, would that be Spartina alterniflora or with some other vegetation?
Spartina patens and Distichus spicata.
So is that what, in the gap there, is that what we're seeing right up against the bulkhead? Is that patens?
This right in here it is. This is Spartina alterniflora.
Yeah.
Right.
Further questions? Thank you, ma'am. Matters before the commission for discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Fox?
Looking at the pictures and listening to the testimony, I'm not sure how this commission can determine whether it's 225 or 477. There appears to be an honest disagreement, and I guess my conclusion is maybe the two people who disagree ought to go look at it one more time and come to a conclusion, because it does seem to be a radical difference in the two estimates.
Is that a motion to remand?
Yes.
Motion to remand by Mr. Fox. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? Tell you what, to the chair, and many times I've said this, the wonderful service wetlands boards provide, and I'm not so sure to say that we don't like having you here or not having you here. Is I understand your position, but I think what's really the most important thing is when we're here together, maybe we come together and learn something. Me as much as anybody else, for the benefit of the public that we serve. One thing that I was most struck by the discussion was when Ms. Hatton indicated that she had not received the report until the 18th. The meeting was the 23rd, and that five-day period of time, I don't have a calendar.
Yes, there's a weekend in there.
I thought that there was, but anyway, maybe a little bit more time for dialogue would have been beneficial, and I want you to know that I don't. That's not something that you should consider detrimental to the board, and I don't. I really don't. These boards come in here day in and day out and do great jobs. They do great jobs for the citizens of the Commonwealth, and they should be applauded. And I make that statement every time one of these comes up because I feel very strongly about it. So, having said that, Mr. Schick.
I think that one thing we have to keep in mind is the wetlands we see in the far part of the picture is different than the wetlands in this gentleman's backyard. How much on the right side of those stakes?
You're talking across the stream.
Yeah, across the stream.
Okay.
And, one plant of wetlands material does not make a wetlands. What percentage of on the right-hand side of those stakes is upland growth? What percentage is wetlands? I think this needs to be taken. We're going to see more and more of this. And failing bulkheads are becoming more common, and wetlands encroaching on people's backyards are going to become more of a situation. And I think some type of compromise situation needs to be calculated into this type of thing. Is in this 400 and some feet, is 70% of that wetlands growth? Is 25% uplands growth? Some of it non-vegetated. So when a line is drawn in the grass, it's not determined 100% of the right side is wetlands, 100% of the left side is not. We're across the creek, obviously 100% is wetlands. And, we're kind of trying to apply some of the same rules in two different areas. And I don't know, maybe when it goes back to the Wetlands Board and they're going to be talking about this, it may come back the same way or one way or the other. But I think that just, I felt like it needed to be said, that we have to consider this as a complicated situation.
I think after a little more dialogue between BIMS and the Wetlands Board or whatever, then we'll see what comes out of it. And your point is well made. Mr. Holland?
I just want to say that I agree 100%, because if a little bit of plants get up any further, you could get a tremendous amount of backyard. What's declared a wetlands? I think we have a difference of opinion in what Hampton declared a wetlands and what the VIMS declared a wetlands. And that's where we are.
And sometimes that difference is good, sometimes not. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much.
Can I get a clarification on just one thing?
Yes, sir.
If the Wetlands Board goes away, we could make this discussion.
I'm sorry. My fault. You need to come up to the podium if you could. It needs to be on record. Because I think I'm going to be able to tell you I can't answer that question, but go ahead.
I think we are.
You know, if we go away and the Wetlands Board meets again and decides, well, we agree with our original proposal, but we can't get agreement with VIMS on the original square footage, do we end up coming back here and get into a cycle of trying to deal with this? Is there some other...
I wouldn't say it's going to be cyclical in nature. I would say that it will be looked at from a perspective as to how much input was put forward by both parties involved, and then we'll make a decision.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
We have finished the habitat portion, I believe, of the agenda, and it's still 11:30. Anybody from fisheries here where we can do any requests for public hearing? Rob? Without prejudicing anyone that might have something to say about a request for public hearing, I'd like to try to clear. And Mr. Travelstead is here now.
Would seem that all the items 15 through 18 the commission could take up now.
Well, we would like to.
Yeah, we do know we have public comment.
Is that okay with you, Jax? All right. Would the commission entertain a motion to amend the agenda to proceed with item 15?
So moved.
Second.
Dame Inquirer down here on the right. Motion made by Mr. Holland, seconded by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Proceed, Mr. O'Reilly.
Okay. Item 15 is a request for public hearing to consider amendments to Regulation 320 to allow for the use of small mesh gill nets in the special management area on the Eastern Shore. And since next month would be the public hearing, I'll just introduce the item by saying that this stems back to June with the Fisheries Management Advisory Committee met on this issue.